Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Don't forget, James Franklin rejoins the Penn State football show tonight from 6:05 to 7. You'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, yeah. So, we have Kevin Herr here, who his love of sports is legendary, and okay. He comes at it from a, well, an interesting perspective.
Great to have you with us. I like to say passionate. Fanatical.
Sure. Yeah.
Passionate. You know.
Yeah, there are a lot of words. Insane. I mean, there are really a lot of things that, you know, yeah. You know, I mean, your team right now, I mean, you know, guy for the Bengals gets hurt, you get happy. It's just not how I live my life.
Not happy. He will be out likely for week 6.
Which is what, Steeler week? No.
I don't think so.
No, okay.
Yeah, AJ Green not expected to play Sunday against Carolina.
No, they don't need him against Carolina. They're fine. To their credit, they really laid a national TV egg. Know what you think? Against the Patriots? I mean, I know that made you very, very happy. I felt AJ McCarron played very well.
My main concern was how well Brady played, because he's my fantasy quarterback.
The big talk today was him being traded.
Brady or A.J. McCarron?
Brady. If A.J. McCarron's traded, it's not even a headline in Birmingham. Come on. It's like on page 8. By the way, McCarron now is a member of the Houston Texans, okay? But there was a lot of talk about, would the Patriots trade Tom Brady? And I sit back and go, are you insane? There aren't many of these guys out there.
Well, the only thing I've heard is that he's not happy with some of the personnel changes that the Patriots have made, but that's about all I've heard about or read about.
Look,
I love scandal.
Yeah, well, the Patriots, though, have never, with the exception of Randy Moss, they have never put a major league receiver out there with him. Now, guys have become major league receivers in part because of playing with Brady. Wes Welker comes to mind. But they went out and acquired Randy Moss. What happened that year? Oh, that's right. Tom threw 50 touchdown passes. They went 18-0. They've had some big-time tight end looks, like Gronk, obviously. But they have never really surrounded him with the type of talent. I mean, if you take Peyton Manning, for example, he had Harrison, he had Reggie Wayne. Well, they're actually a cut above most of the guys that Brady's dealt with in his career.
But very interesting. But if you're the Patriots, though, Steve, and you can get a decent... Now, I don't see them trading for a player, but I could see them trading for maybe draft picks.
You have to be insane to trade Tom Brady. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Okay, you got to be insane. I mean, to even think about it, I think is something that you sit back and say, are you kidding me? Now, number one, you can fall into your 7-9, 8-8, and become irrelevant in the national scene very quickly by doing this.
Well, how many years do you think he has? How many efficient years do you think he has for the Patriots?
If you give him an offensive line, 3.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that by the way, I completely agree with you. I would not trade him this year. However, next year I might think about it if I was going to get an unbelievable deal like 2 first-round picks.
You're not going to get 2 first-round picks.
But if you do, I would consider it.
All right. Who's going to do that?
I'm not. Listen. This is a hypothetical. Hypothetical.
Who's going to do that? Oh, jeez.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, the rides are open to Fantasyland.
But I would consider that.
I wouldn't. I'd look around and go, okay, I want 2 unproven players for a guy that's still one of the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the league? Really?
But is he?
Okay.
is he on his downslide now?
Yeah. Okay. Who would you rather have? Okay. There's a handful of guys. Let's see. Okay. Roethlisberger certainly is one of them.
Sure.
No doubt. So let's get your guy out of the way first before you go into diabetic shock. Okay. So Roethlisberger would be one of them. Manning would be another one. Breeze probably is in that category. Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
So
the way Philip Rivers is playing. You got to think Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers has really, really played well. The latter stages of his career have been. Philip Rivers has become a really good quarterback. Russell Wilson.
Andrew Luck.
Now we're starting to hit a spot where, okay, Buffalo's quarterbacks, no. Jets quarterbacks, no. Tannehill, no. That's his own division.
Dalton,
no. Hoyer, no. Okay. Flacco, no.
Did you mention Russell Wilson?
I did.
Okay. How about Kaepernick? Where would you put him there?
Please. Okay. First of all, understand when the play clock runs down. Then we'll talk.
Good point.
I mean, seriously, how many times a game does he let the play clock go to 0? You know, they got a big thing in the corner that tells you what's going on.
It's usually right in front of your face, no matter which end you're pointed to.
Like, the first thing you spot is the play clock.
Right.
And usually 2 to 3 times a game, he lets that thing go to 0. And you sit back and go, okay, what? So, no. For the Rams, no. Anybody for the Cardinals? No. They'd be one of the guys trying to acquire Brady. Cam Newton? No.
Blake Bortles hasn't proven himself yet.
Bortles, no. Eli Manning, no. Even though Manning's beaten him twice in Super Bowls, still. Okay? I think he has done more around him with less. I mean, you're going to tell me that Ben Roethlisberger would embrace having Julian Edelman as his number one primary target? Really?
That's unfair because he's on my fantasy team, so I feel conflicted in commenting there.
I can't wait to get Brian Stetter on so I can actually talk football. All right. Boy. Could you accelerate getting Jimmy on so we can talk some ball?
No. Just for that, no.
I mean, I would like to see that because, I mean, this fantasy point thing is like, the relevancy of it is so far down my list.
Although Ryan Fitzpatrick probably isn't a better quarterback, but looks better in a beard than Tom Brady. Not that that counts for anything, just thinking out loud.
Here, I'm going to give you Jack's number, and let's just get him on the show now. I need a football fix right now, and you aren't providing it.
Well, listen, you're not saying anything I disagree with right now. But you have to admit, you did name, what, about 10 quarterbacks?
Yeah.
that you would put ahead of him. Okay, that's almost half the NFL.
No, there's 16 would be half the NFL. I mentioned 10 quarterback season. I said 10 quarterback season the same league with.
Okay.
Not better.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Do I think Andrew Luck is better than Tom Brady? No. Do I think down in a couple of years will Andrew Luck be better? Yes.
Okay.
Do I think Matt Ryan is ever going to be? No. Do I think Eli Manning is? No. Do I think Russell Wilson is a bet? Russell Wilson is in a very interesting spot because Russell Wilson, because he is so underpaid, he has a football team around him in Percy Harvin and Bobby Averill and some of the free agents that they have signed and been able to retain so far, Marshawn Lynch. Lynch is better than any running back the Patriots have. Harvin is better than any receiver the Patriots have. So as much credit as Russell Wilson gets because he is poised and does use his legs very, very well, Tom Brady, I think, has less around him to work with.
All right, but you're a guy that has, for the last 3 months or more this summer, when talking about the Phillies, talked about keeping players too long, and Troy Polamalu keeping players too long. Yeah. When does Brady become too long if he's got 3 years left and you can get something out of him? If, in theory, you can get something.
Well, right. I don't see it right now in him. In fact, I see a guy who sees the field really well, and then like Troy Polamalu, they don't play Chariots of Fire when he runs.
Never heard that. Only at your house.
From 2001 to 2010 was one of the five best players in the game.
Agreed.
Not at his position.
I'm talking about Brady.
I'm saying your guy to me was not just one of the five best players at his position. I think he was one of the five best players in the game. Okay. You want to know why he's getting so many offsides penalties right
now? Because he's trying to make something
happen. Because he knows he's a step slow and a step late. And he's guessing wrong. Okay? He didn't have to guess wrong before because he could make up for it because he was younger. All right? Brady is not at that. Brady brings things to the table, intangibles, that in terms of what he does pre-snap, what he sees, what openings he finds. You know,
does Brady have a better running game, though, now than he did in the last 5 years? And if so, shouldn't that make him better?
No, he doesn't, because they don't have their offensive line isn't as good. And the best running game he ever had was when he had Corey Dillon, and they won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl that year.
I think if the right opportunity comes along, and again, I would think it has to be two first-round picks. Even I would want to trade Troy Polamalu for two first-round draft picks. But the question is this: if Brady has 1 year like this, people start talking about it. If he has two,
like what?
An average year. We're talking about an average year from a quarterback, by the way.
They're going to win the division, by the way.
And he's having an average year. That's how good he was.
By the way, where were they last year? Oh, that's right. They were in the AFC Championship game.
You missed my point.
I always do.
He's having an average year at work, and fans are complaining. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We are here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, which is 11 and 15. After the opening half hour of the show, in which fantasy football was brought up 8 or 9 times, and first round picks for Troy Polamalu. I need somebody I could talk football with. I mean, I wish Buehner would show up.
Guess what? I'm here.
Buehner! Oh, if you were here, big dog, I'd hug you.
Oh, man. Well, here's what happened. I was up here on Blue Hill by the Sunbury Broadcasting Studios parasailing, and a current came up, and I ended up parasailing to Milton, and I had to hitchhike back to the studios. So, you know, it was just one of those quirks of nature, the wind taking me the north instead of just around the mountain here. But I'm glad to talk football, Steve. Always glad to do that.
And if this Thursday night football game isn't better than the last few, I'm going to stop watching Thursday night football.
I don't think CBS cares.
Yeah. I don't think CBS cares either. But you have to admit, these games have not been entertaining.
But this has done exactly what CBS wanted. It's an 8-game package. CBS was number one on Thursday nights. Big Bang Theory was the central comedy that they ran on Thursdays. That was the bell cow that led to really good ratings on Thursdays. Yet CBS looked at football and live sports and said that's going to draw an even higher rating. So they took Big Bang Theory and other shows and moved it to Monday night and put this in there, and they've doubled their ratings.
Well, you know, it's simple.
Despite the fact that Kevin says if it's not a good game, he won't watch, they don't care, Kevin, if you watch. Others are going to.
But it's simple math for CBS, because people aren't DVRing Thursday Night Football and scrolling through the commercials, but they are DVOing Big Bang Theory and not watching the commercials. So I understand it from that point of view.
You know, watching football is a lot like the comment about fishing. Yeah. A day fishing, there's no such thing as a bad day fishing. There's no such thing as a bad day watching college football, as far as I'm concerned.
No, and there's, I don't think it's, you know, you'll have a, now what's tonight's game, by the way?
Indianapolis and Houston.
Oh, Indianapolis game. Everything's been a division game so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most of these are division games. And you only appear on Thursday Night Football once, except for Seattle and Green Bay. They're the only two that are allowed to appear on multiple Thursday night games. And Green Bay's already done theirs because they had the game with Minnesota. And you're asking, why does Seattle and Green Bay, why are they the only two that are allowed to appear on multiple Thursdays? Because they played the opening game of the season and had plenty of time to get ready for it. That's why.
Isn't there something about Thanksgiving, too, with Dallas and Detroit? Because they do play on a Thursday, yeah, obviously, for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and yes, they do, and there's a primetime game. I'm trying to think of the primetime. Last year was Baltimore and Pittsburgh last year.
Yes.
But they both play such boring football that they won't put them back on again.
But you know, the Vikings Packers did a little bit better.
Did you hear? I heard you taunted him, and he just went right over his head.
I'm not taking the bait.
It went
did
right
you hear
over
the NFL? Did you hear the NFL wants to buy Wembley Stadium?
Really?
Well, they play enough games there, so maybe that's why.
No, well, let's go big picture now.
Well, that has to do with the NFL team in London.
Bob,
I know that.
Bob, do I constantly have to take him down the path?
It's a no-brainer. I understand they want to put a team in London, and this is the first step to it. I get that.
Wembley is one massive stadium, by the way.
Well, the people in Great Britain are not happy with this.
No, and there's a couple reasons. Wembley is used for a lot of other events. for example, next year, this time of year, matter of fact, about 1 year exactly, the Rugby World Cup will be there, and I think the finals will be in Wembley Stadium. It's also big for all kinds of other international events. So they would not like it that their stadium, meaning the Great Britain folks, would be taken over by some bunch of upstart colonialists trying to impose their culture on Great Britain.
You got that right.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, here's the bottom line is this. Okay, they took their shot. We beat them. Okay, next.
Exactly. Right.
Technically twice.
Yes. You know what?
Yes. Yes, we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the ending of the War of 1812.
And you know what's really funny is the British referred to our American Revolution as the unpleasantries. And they hope the colonials, we colonialists, have gotten over the unpleasantries.
Oh, sure, yeah. So we just went and bought their stadium. Yeah, I feel
exactly.
good.
Now, really
I feel good. What's next? Let's buy Wimbledon. Yeah.
And as an aside to this, they do not get the concept of cheerleaders at sporting events very well. They've tried, and it just doesn't work. So they're like the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah.
Don't need cheerleaders when you have good football. Oh, wait. That hasn't been the case lately.
Oh, just so bitter. Look, all you got to do is make the playoffs. Once you're in, you can be the Kansas City Royals, okay?
Exactly. By the way, is there baseball coming up soon? We haven't...
That's a good question. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
And the other question is what network it's on, because I'll tell you what, this has been a nightmare to try and watch baseball.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know what? This is where you're dead wrong. You are dead wrong on this one, too.
Okay. Tell me why, because I couldn't find it the other night.
Because the ratings have been really good. Okay? They have found over and over and over again that despite the thought that it's going to be difficult or whatever, people find it. Game is tomorrow night, Kansas City at Baltimore, 8:07 on TBS. Fox, over-the-air Fox, has the Giants and Cardinals at 8:07 on Saturday night. Fans, the ratings have been really, really good for the baseball playoffs because evidently people have an understanding as to how to use the clicker.
Listen, if it weren't for channel guides, I don't think I'd be able to find. I had trouble finding it the other night. It's like, is it on MLB Network? Is it on Fox Sports 1? Is it on TBS? Which one is it on? No, it was already over by the time I was trying to find it.
Kevin, let me give you a big hint. In the greater Danville area, it's channel 36. Bob. Yes, Steve.
Bob.
Yes.
It's like every day.
I know. I apologize. I was doing other matters for the first 3 days of the week. So
every day, Bob.
I'm not the only one that have had this complaint. I've heard this many, many places, many, many people, and many, many shows. Just this one's the only one it didn't.
Oh. So we've got.
I'm sorry. I've had no problem finding it. Yeah, to be frank with you,
I mean, wasn't one of the divisional games for a game or two on MLB Network? It was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It's like, why do that? Just leave it on one stinking network all the way through. If you want the MLB Network to carry a game, fine. Then they carry the whole whatever game.
It does get
all or series rather.
Yeah. Unless you have the clickers.
I think it's been convenient because Fox Sports 1 had overlaps on games, and they kicked it over to MLB Network because I don't know if anybody gets Fox Sports 2.
Yeah,
I haven't.
No, it's not big on the old cable network itinerary.
Well, no, I mean, there's Fox Sports 1, which right. a lot of people get now.
Mm-hmm.
The what used to be Speed Channel, but I don't know if anybody gets Fox Sports 2.
Yeah, that used to be their soccer only channel, I think.
It was a you flipped over to MLB Network. There it was. I've had no issue here. I mean, it's amazing based on ratings. You and your group are evidently the only ones struggling.
No, Fox Sports 2, by the way, was formerly Fuel TV.
Oh, geez.
Fabulous.
Yes.
No, I just wanted to clarify because I said it was formerly soccer. It's not.
I think right now, if we did a poll in the audience about caring, really, okay, very, very low right now.
I'm trying to be accurate, though.
Greatly appreciated and...
Sure, fabulous. Good. Okay.
Yep.
I mean,
and,
the Brady
I'm pretty
thing,
sure I have Fox Sports, too.
The Brady thing, you were caring about accuracy, but now suddenly I don't know where you want to be accurate.
No, I was accurate there, too. You just didn't agree with me. There's a difference. Ah, Fox Sports 2 is on Service Electric.
It is.
At 638 on the HD
well,
side.
We don't get sick. We run out of numbers after about 140.
Well, you need to change that.
I know.
That's
actually,
your fault.
I'm my. Oh, the 30 for 30 thing, Bob. Did you see that? There is a Wikipedia. Oh, I got to tell you this one. You're going to love this. Okay. 30 for 30. Henry Hill, Goodfellas.
Absolutely. Real story.
Yeah, true story. And I never realized at the end of the movie, which we talked about yesterday, the end of the movie where they have the. Where they're going to put him in witness protection? Well, of course, he testifies against Jimmy Conway, which in real life is Jimmy Burke.
Right.
Okay. Played by De Niro. I didn't realize the trial was actually about the BC point shaving scandal.
I did not either.
It makes you think it's about Lufthansa. It's not.
Exactly, because, of course, it was the Goodfellas took about $7 million of jewelry and cash out of a Lufthansa plane out at JFK Airport, which was the crime of the century. But, no, there's no mention specifically in the Goodfellas movie that it is the BC point-shaving scandal.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you that. Now, get this. It centers around Jim Sweeney, Ernie Cobb, and the only guy that went to prison out of the group, Rick Kuhn. Wikipedia has in there, because people can put stuff in, the name Joe Streeter. Well, if you go to Wikipedia, it talks about Joe Streeter and his role in the BC point shaving scandal. Okay, well, guess what? Jim Streeter wasn't on the team. He left Boston College in early 78 after a successful freshman year in the basketball team. And somebody inserted his name on Wikipedia. Here's the AP version. BC basketball players Rick Kuhn, Joe Streeter, and Jim Sweeney were persuaded to fix 9 Eagles games during the season. Kuhn and 2 money men were handed 10 years in prison. Streeter wasn't even on the team or in school at the time of the point shaving scandal. An observation is occasionally made on message boards and comment sections, but it was quickly dismissed given the abundance of articles stating that Streeter was among those involved. He wasn't involved.
That's a
why? Because it's in Wikipedia and people look at it and go, oh, it's got to be true.
Not necessarily in comport with the evidence, but that, yeah, the BC point shaving scandal was, over the course of time, really has been diminished in its importance. You know, people still talk about the Black Sox baseball scandal as if it happened a couple years ago, and it's been a black eye for baseball, and it's literally 100 years old or 95 years old.
Well, in fact, the series ended, 95 years ago today.
Yeah, exactly.
The 1919 World Series ended 95 years ago today with the Reds winning it.
And but the BC scandal, which was in many people's way of thinking, really important because how sports betting has proliferated since 1919. And there's real money at stake, and not just a little bit. I mean, real huge amount of money changing hands.
Well, I told the story yesterday. I'm not going to retell it today. But, I mean, I did a game that was fixed in 1995, Penn State Northwestern basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the 3 games that they attempted to fix back then.
Was it the point guard at Wisconsin, at Northwestern?
It was Deion Lee, guard, Kevin Purdy, 3-point specialist, and Dewey Williams, one of their forwards. And the lead was Lee, who got hooked into Kevin Pendergast. $4,000 for the Penn State game. Lee kept $2,600, allegedly gave $1,400 to Purdy and Williams. By the way, Purdy was never prosecuted because he had immunity from prosecution. Williams says, oh, no, I had nothing to do with this. John Amici schooled him for 30 that night, which none of this fazed me because Purdy was a guy. I think the reason they wanted Purdy in on it because he could come into the game late and hit like two or three threes and change the point number.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I mean, because he's, as a player, he was an absolute non-factor in every game I ever broadcast. I mean, I'm talking like absolute non-factor, barely on my chart for the scouting report. I'm not joking.
Mm-hmm.
Williams, I didn't like because I thought he was too big, carried too much weight, and I thought his footwork was lousy, and that thus Amici scoring 30 against him did not surprise me. Deion Lee was perfect for this thing because he could give you 15, 16, 17 one night. He'd give you four the next. He was always dramatically up and down. Northwestern was 5-22 that year. So getting blown out was no big deal. I mean, if Northwestern got blown out in the game, yeah, okay, Northwestern got blown out
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
Now, the Wisconsin, they did it every other game. Wisconsin was the first one they tried it with. Wisconsin was a 13.5-point favorite. Wisconsin won by 14. That's too close for comfort. And Lee was no. They let Lee know that's too close for comfort. The Penn State game, remember, Penn State, 1995 was a good year for Penn State. This was Bruce's third and final year in the Big Ten. They went 9-9. They made the in the conference, and they made the NIT Final Four. They were a good basketball team, not great, but they were good. And 9-9 in the Big Ten is very respectable. Well, they were 15-point favorites at Northwestern that night, and they won the game by 30, 89-59. Then they skipped a game, and what they did was they went to the Michigan game in Ann Arbor, and the spread was 24. And Lee evidently, according to the story in the Chicago Tribune, wouldn't do it. He said, nah, it's too much. We can't do this. Too much. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I guess Pendergast, according to the story, flew into Chicago, drove up to Evanston, and then met Lee in an alley near campus and doubled the payout from $4,000 to $8,000 to do it. And what happened was is that Michigan, you know, goes out to a lead, whatever, and they're coasting home here, and they put the reserves in, and instead of winning by 24-plus, they won by 17. And Michigan committed 22 turnovers. And Michigan was not into it at all. They were sloppy, I guess, all night, and they committed 22 turnovers in the game. And they won the game by 17 points. Well, of course, now after and see what they were looking for was the big score on the Michigan game. That was going to be like, okay, you made it work here, slim margin. You really made it work here in the Penn State game. Okay, now we're going to go for the big score. Well, of course, that set up red flags across the board because a lot of money was lost in that game. Well, why is a lot of money lost suddenly on a Michigan 24-point favorite game? That's where the red flags came up.
And, you know, I know this to be true, that in Las Vegas, the sports books have algorithms that can track that and follow the money trail literally and look for what we call anomalies in sports betting. And I think just a few years ago, some students from Arizona or Arizona State went up to Las Vegas betting on their school or against it. And really hit big time. And these were people who hadn't done any real sports betting in their lives other than maybe 10 bucks at a time. And that raised all kinds of red flags because the gaming industry out there is obviously really concerned about it. But
the BC thing was all hatched at Lewisburg.
I know.
Seriously.
No,
I mean, remember the scenes in Goodfellas where Karen, played by Lorraine Bracco,
yes,
you know, comes in and she brings all the stuff into prison. Well, that's not some prison in New York.
No.
That's Lewisburg. Okay? And she brings all, and this is where, and according to the story on 30 for 30, it was brilliantly done. That's why I'm anxious to see what they do with the 1969 football season, Texas, Arkansas, and Penn State. I mean, I'm anxious because they're doing one, a 30-for-30 on that. Nixon declaring the national championship. And Penn State will play a central role in it for obvious reasons. They're the ones that get ripped off. And when you look at this, according to the 30-for-30, the idea was hatched in Lewisburg with Hill and these two guys from Pittsburgh, and that's where they came up with it. And then they got Jimmy Burke, or, you know,
the
movie Jimmy Conway. Well, Jimmy Conway's the character. Jimmy Burke's the real person.
Right.
They got Jimmy, and Jimmy Burke ended up, I think, going to Lewisburg himself.
You know, so that reminds me, we had, Steve, a few years ago, we had a news story here that was coming out of the Lewisburg Federal Pen where some of the prison guards were smuggling out sperm cells, I guess, or something crazy like that, from the prison to go to, you know, New York City for whatever reason. And, you know, like when you say things were hatched in Lewisburg, there's a lot of stuff like that in the federal prison system where obviously Lewisburg is one of literally the epicenters of our prison system in the U.S. And so it doesn't surprise me.
Actually, after hearing that, I want to go back to Kevin's analysis of Troy Polamalu. Kevin.
Sorry, out of time for this segment of the program.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bob. I was begging for you to come on the show. Now I'm begging to talk to Kev.
No.
Hey, Kevo, buddy.
Welcome to the Kevin Hearn program, where desperation has made Steve change his mind.
How are you, my friend? Remember that stuff I said to you? I said to you earlier.
Do you want
to
take it back now?
Yeah,
yes,
bet
you do.
Forget all that stuff. I could be I could be called the new Kevin.
I don't know if that's what you should strive for. All right. Maybe, Kevin, maybe you could be the new Kevin.
Okay, let's try for that.
How was On the Mark this morning?
It was good. Thanks for asking.
Not a problem. Anytime. Kevin sent me where I could find Fox Sports 2 on his local cable.
I didn't send it to you. I sent it to Bob.
Delete. All right. We'll come back with more next hour, including Jim Brandstetter. We're actually going to talk football. Thank you so much for bringing Brandstetter into our lives on News Radio 1070 WKOK.